Our first reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, in chapter 8, starting at verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God, does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. And then we then follow on with a gospel reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, the story of Lazarus. Now a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay ill, was the same one who poured out perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." "Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and you're going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let's also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again."
Let's pray together. Loving Lord, you give us the examples, the characters, the testimony, We come this morning believing in Jesus Christ, the resurrection and life. We come to confess that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. We come to worship the one who has power over death and who brings life from death and hope from despair. So, Lord, still our hearts now. You have called us by name to be here this morning. You have called us by name for a purpose, and you will send us out in the power of your Spirit to fulfil our call from you. So be with us, still our hearts and minds, and may we know when we leave this place, we have been in your presence. Amen. The Gospel readings across Lent, this being the fifth Sunday of Lent already, are quite chunky, and thanks, Jeff, I did truncate yours, because it goes on to 41. But here's a paraphrase. The raising of Lazarus is more than just a miracle story. It is a preview of Easter morning, a demonstration that Jesus has authority over life and death, and proof that even when Jesus delays, even when things seem hopeless, even when death seems the final word, Jesus can speak life into any situation. And if you are looking forward to your Easter bunnies and your hot cross buns and all that entails, there is quite a walk to make first. This passage reminds us that the same Jesus who called Lazarus out of the tomb would himself walk out of the tomb 3 days after his crucifixion. And for me, across Lent, I have been encouraging you through a call, and I will do that today. And as we receive bread and wine, the commemoration of the Last Supper, I ask you to take the journey to the cross without skipping any days. Every day is important, and you have your Maundy service, your Good Friday, and your Easter Sunday, starting with the arrival next Sunday. But if you are sitting here this morning, and I'm very mindful, Wendy's here, of Tim waiting for news, as many of us are, prognosis or treatment plans or whatever. I waited 3 years for my significant Achilles surgery. I'm glad I've had it. It's going to be another year since I'm fully fit. But the whole point about Lazarus is, how do you respond when Jesus delays? Because we live in an instant culture. When God is silent and when you seem to need him most, when you have cried out to him in desperation, and when perhaps you have wondered why your prayers seem unanswered, what is the point? Mary and Martha knew exactly what it felt like. Their brother Lazarus was deathly ill and had died. They sent an urgent message: Lord, he whom you love is ill. They had seen Jesus many times heal strangers, and they waited with patience and hope. They watched their brother grow weaker. They prayed, they hoped. But Jesus did not come. And then he died. 4 days passing, the funeral was over. Thanks for the clarity, 2 miles from Jerusalem. A 40-minute walk if you put a spurt on. Mourners filling the house. Did Jesus not care? He wasn't here. Where is he? And that again is one of the slights that we receive as Christians. Why weren't you here? Where was your presence? When even if we're not there, we know that we are praying. But this morning, as we journey deeper into Lent, and as we move closer to Holy Week, we are going to discover in these next few moments that when Jesus delays, there is always a purpose. When Jesus seems absent, he is never truly absent. And when death appears to have the final word, Jesus speaks a word that is more powerful still. This is the story of Lazarus. This is our story. A story of faith in the face of delay, hope in the midst of grief, and the power of Jesus to bring life from death. The purpose. God's timing is not our timing. Delays are purposeful, not punitive. The purpose from the verse 1, setting the context, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. We know the purpose. We can recognise the pain. And we can recognise that Jesus enters our suffering. Martha's honest grief. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus makes a declaration, I am the resurrection and the life. And despite her physical and reality of pain, of grief, she confesses her faith. But Jesus, seeing Mary weeping, is greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. And we have that very clarion call that Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible. He realised, his humanity realised, the pain and suffering that grief and separation brings. And he wept. So we have the purpose and the pain. And then we have the power. Because out of this scene of desolation, he commands life from death. He arrives at the tomb, and already there was a stench. And again, he reminds them of his identity. Did I not tell you that if I believed, you would see the glory of God? All through these Lenten readings, the Samaritan woman at the well, Bartimaeus, the man becoming healed from blindness, Nicodemus coming in the night. The whole point of our journey through Lent is that we recognise and are reminded, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? He prays to his Father. He needs that affirmation so they may believe. And then he says again, clarion words, Lazarus, come out. The impossible becomes possible. And the dead man comes stumbling out, wrapped in his burial garments. And I have a visual picture of this drawn by Andy Fishburne, which I'll share with some of you later, and I can email around. Not only would that have been an almighty shock, after 4 days, this led again to the proclamation. Many who saw what Jesus did believed in him. The miracle points beyond itself to who Jesus is, and he proves his claim. He is the resurrection and the life, and this foreshadows his own resurrection. So as we gather in this Lenten season, we gather to be transformed by his Spirit, to prepare our hearts for Holy Week and for the celebration of Resurrection Morning. And just to paraphrase and to repeat. As Jesus arrived, they did not tell him what to do. They didn't tell him to go and join the morning party, maybe receive some refreshments. They did not demand that he became immediately. They simply stated the facts and trusted, knowing how much he loved Lazarus, that he would do what was right. And they assumed he would drop everything to rush to their side. After all, is that not what he does? He comes to us, we go to him, we do not delay. But Jesus did delay. He did not rush to Bethany. He stayed where he was for 2 more days. And we've all been in that post-death time, where the pressures of other people wanting to come and see you, the pressures of what you have to do in terms of legally registering, when really all you want to do is be at home with those you love and remember. We can feel and imagine how confusing and painful that must have been. They had travelled through watching their brother die. and Jesus, who could heal him, had not come. But Jesus had a purpose for this delay. He was not being cruel or indifferent. He was not ignoring their pain. He was orchestrating something far greater than a simple healing. The delay teaches us a profound truth, and something that I come back to on a daily basis. God's timing is not our timing. And the context that you are living in, waiting with Tim and Wendy, waiting for the succession, waiting for whatever God will have to do with you and with me and the circuit, and especially here at Well Street, we are called to remember that God's timing is not our timing. When Jesus delays, it is not because he doesn't care. It is not because he has forgotten us. And it is not because our prayers are not important. One of the greatest affirmations that I have received through this delay of my treatment is the answer to prayer. And you can feel it. And as I was praying for you up the road at McDonald's, you were praying here. You were in a sandwich, physically, geographically, of prayer this morning. Trust him. Because as humans, we want to see what's ahead. We want to see the direction of travel. We want to have answers. But this Sunday, more than any Sunday, is about trusting the process and trusting God. And the pain is palpable. All of you are carrying pain this morning in some way or other. Some of us more physical pain than others. Some of us spiritual pain. But we can recognise what deep pain feels like. The ache of loss. The physical yearning of grief. Martha does not pretend everything is fine. She doesn't go out to smile and greet him and say, "Where have you been?" She shows her humanity. "I needed you and you were not here." And those words are repeated time and time again to us as disciples. And all we can say is, "God was here even if I wasn't." Jesus does not rebuke her for this honesty. He does not tell her she lacks faith. He meets her in her pain and he weeps with her. Jesus is declaring that he is the answer to death itself. And there, here comes the first call. "Do you believe this?" Martha responds, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." So out of that pain and that purpose of the whole scenario, even in grief with her unanswered questions, she comes, and again Mary echoes it, slightly behind the time sequence, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." This is so important for us to understand. Jesus does not stand at a distance from our pain. He does not look down from heaven in terms of the Father or the Holy Spirit with indifference. He enters into our suffering with us. He weeps with those who weep. He is moved by our grief. And even when he knows the end of the story, even when he knows he is going to bring resurrection and healing, he still cares deeply enough to physically show his humanity and wept with them. The power. "Take away the stone," Martha objects. "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days. But Jesus reminds her, "Did I not tell you that if you were believed, you would see the glory of God?" And his calling words, "Lazarus, come out." A man who had been dead for 4 days walks out of the tomb alive. Jesus speaks, death must obey. Jesus commands and life returns. But we need to understand something crucial. Jesus did not raise Lazarus to show off his power. He did not do this miracle as a magical trick. He did this to show who he is and to point forward to what he himself would experience. Lazarus come out of the tomb. Lazarus, of course, would die again someday. This was a temporary resurrection. Jesus himself would be behind the stone in just a few weeks' time. The purpose was to lead people to faith, to lead them through a physical miracle in front of their eyes. And this is always the goal of Jesus' miracles, to lead people to faith. The proclamation are signs pointing to who Jesus is and what he can do, and what he can do through all of us. Martha's question is our question. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that he has the power over death? Do you believe that even though we die physically, we will live eternally? And do you believe that everyone who lives and believes in him will never truly die? This Lenten season calls us to examine our faith. And as we move towards the cross and the empty tomb, we must decide, because you all will be sat at the foot of the cross. Is he truly the Son of God, the Messiah, the resurrection and the life? Our answer to that question determines everything: how we live, how we face suffering, how we approach death, and how we face time. And when we think there's a delay. The raising of Lazarus is one of the most powerful stories in the Gospels. So some of you this morning are in a season of waiting. You have prayed and God seems silent. You have asked and the answer seems delayed. You are where Mary and Martha are. Some of you are in a season of grief. You have lost someone you love. You have faced death in some form, the death of a relationship, the death of a dream, the death of a hope. This passage reminds us that Jesus weeps with us. He does not distance or remove himself from our pain. He enters our suffering. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the testimony of Lazarus and for what it shows about your Son. Thank you that even when you seem to delay, you have a purpose. Thank you that when Jesus enters into our pain and suffering, he weeps with us with compassion. Thank you that he has power over death itself and that nothing is impossible for him. Lord Jesus, we believe that you are the resurrection and the life. We confess that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Help us believe that when circumstances seem hopeless, help us to follow you faithfully as we journey towards the cross and the empty tomb. And for those here today and listening online who are waiting on you, give them patience and faith. For those who are grieving, comfort them with your presence. For those who are questioning, show yourself to them in power. And as we move closer to Holy Week, prepare our hearts to remember your sacrifice and to celebrate your resurrection. May we live as people who know that death has been defeated and that eternal life is ours through faith in you, and that we will meet again. We pray this in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life. Amen.